place as far as the series goes. May preach on something like that along as we go along, but right now this will probably finish up the series as that have been on. We've done several of these recently on Sunday nights. I want to preach to you tonight about when Peter got in the wrong crowd. When Peter got in the wrong crowd, the Apostle Peter, of all people, got into the wrong crowd. Luke 22, it's a long chapter. If you'll go to verse 55, I'm going to read that for our text tonight. Luke 22, verse 55. When Peter got in the wrong place. All right, verse 55 says, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them." Verse 56. "But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire." I'm just going to read that portion right there. Verse 54, the last part of the verse says, "And Peter followed afar off." Peter followed afar off. He sat down among them. He warmed himself by the fire. He is with the wrong people. Now get this. His heart has gotten cold, and he's getting warmed up by the fire of the devil and the world and the enemy. When your heart gets cold, you'll find yourself in the wrong place. When your heart gets cold, your spiritual life gets cold, and your spiritual fervor cools off, sometimes we'll find ourselves in the wrong place, warming our hands by the wrong fires. And that's what's going on right here in this story. Let's pray. Father, guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What we have in this text is the famous denials of Peter. The Lord told Peter, "Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." He said, "Before the night's over, before the cock crows the third time, you're going to deny me." Peter denied that and said, "Oh, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord." You know, anytime you say, "Not so, Lord," he's not Lord if you're telling him no, right? So he got himself in trouble right there. But he denied what God said and said, "Lord, I won't do that. Lord, I'll stand with you. I'll fight with you. Lord, I'll die with you. I'll die for you." And he meant that. He was sincere, but he didn't have the spiritual strength he needed to back that up. And he soon found out that he was leaning on the flesh, his own strength, and not the Lord. Now, the Lord told him, he's praying for him. Remember that? And thank God he prays for us. Amen. We don't know what God's prayers have spared us from. Amen? The grace of God that you sang about tonight has spared you from a lot of trouble. Thank God for protection. Thank God He is our shelter in the time of storm. But here the great apostle Peter is. He's not the great apostle at this point that you see later on in the book of Acts. But at this point, he's weak. Going through a lot of things here, and he's backslidden. When Jesus needed him most, he was sleeping. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord said, "Pray with me." And he fell asleep on the Lord in prayer time. In the Lord's most needed time, he fell asleep. The Lord warned him, and he said, "No, I won't do it." And before he knows it, he's denied the Lord three times. And that's what the passage is if we had kept reading. I'm not doing it right now. Even with the Lord forewarning him, you know, a lot of folks know the consequences of disobeying the Bible, and they do it anyway. Right? A lot of folks know the consequences of going away from God, going astray from God, doing their own thing, and they do it anyway. A lot of people know what the Bible says about hell and about judgment and about the need to get saved, and they put it off anyway. So a lot of people are forewarned, right? You've told people before, "Hey, don't do that. Don't go down that path. Don't go down that road." And you watch them do it anyway. Never is good results, right? They should have listened. Should have listened to the Lord. Should have listened to you. Or the guidance of the Holy Spirit in their life. Or you've told people before, "Hey, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You don't need to put it off." And many of them have died without Christ because they wouldn't listen, right? So Peter was forewarned. Instead of listening to the Lord, he really argued with the Lord. Even with the Lord Jesus Christ praying for him, he still did the wrong thing. But thank God he did get restored later on. I'm glad we got the rest of the story. Amen? I found the message the other day. It's the first sermon I ever preached. It was I didn't date it. I wish I had dated it. I found it in an old file. It's on yellow legal pad paper, notebook, cursive. I hadn't written in cursive in years, but I wrote that one as about 18 years old. I wrote that one in cursive, and a whole thing. And I by the way, I was impressed with it. I was better back then, I'm telling you, on writing stuff. But anyway, it covered the life of Peter pretty good. And what it was, what I preached on was, I was just joking, y'all. Now, what I was preaching on was, failure doesn't have to be final. Peter's life, and I've referred to that through all the years, Peter's life shows us failure doesn't have to be final. You're all going to have failures. That doesn't make you a failure. Amen? If you don't get back up and you just quit, you'll become a failure. But failures in and of themselves, we'll all have them. So we know how this story ends up. We've been talking about these people that get themselves in the wrong place. But most of these people that we've talked about were able to get back to the right place. Even Samson in his dying hour prayed and got help from God, right? And I'm glad that we can see that. So the Lord prayed for him, and the Lord said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, guess what? He got converted there. He got restored later on. He got revival later on, and he became the great Apostle Peter that we see in the book of Acts. Thank God for that. But even with Jesus going to the cross, here we see the Bible says in verse 54, Peter followed him afar off. Now, we make a lot about this afar off part, and we should. But I'm glad to say this. At least Peter was following the Lord. All the disciples were scared to death. All the disciples were afraid. They all feared for their life. But he wanted to know what happened to the Lord. So the Lord was carried into the hall there where they would have the trial and condemn him to death. And in the courtyard, just outside, is where spectators were. And they had a fire there. I can imagine them being around a little fire. They're warming their hands. It's on a cold night. And they had a burn barrel. I'm sure, can you imagine? They had a burn barrel there, and they were all around it getting their hands warm. I doubt it. They had a barrel, but you know what I mean. They had a fire going, amen? And so Peter, even though he's afar off, he's at a distance, there's a spiritual application there, but he's trying to stay close to see what's going on with the Lord. And that's where the Lord had warned him. And the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. So around that fire is when a young girl recognizes Peter. He denies, I don't know him. I know. Somebody else says, oh yeah, surely you were with him. No, not me. I'm not one of those Christians. I'm not one of those followers of that man. A third time, somebody said it. And that time, according to the other Gospels, he began to curse and swear to convince them, I'm not with that man over there. He just utterly failed. He denied. You say, I would never deny the Lord. Folks, be careful. When you get backslidden, you don't know who you're going to hang out with, or where you're going to go, or what you're going to do, or how low you're going to get. He had no boldness at this point. Now, he was bold many times. He was bold later on. But at this point, there was no boldness, and he just crumbled. Now, if you look down at verse 61, this is how near he was, how close he was. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He felt awful. He felt as low as you can get. He made eye contact with Jesus. Jesus is now arrested. Jesus is now in the hands of the Roman government, or headed that way, and he's in the hand of the soldiers of the Sanhedrin. He's being beaten. He's being treated terribly. But the Lord just turns back towards that courtyard, and because he heard the rooster crow too, he knows what's going on over there. He looks back over there, and him and Peter make eye contact, and that was Peter's most shameful time of his life. You know, whenever somebody's lying to you or somebody's ashamed of something, it's hard to make eye contact with them. If somebody's bold, they don't mind looking you in the eye. If somebody's got a clear conscience, they'll look you in the eye, right? But if somebody is, they could just be very timid or bashful. No boldness about it, and they have a hard time looking you in the eye. Or their conscience is guilty. You know, people in law enforcement and all these kind of things, they know signs to look for, you know, and people are looking away, and when they answer the questions, they look off somewhere else. They don't want to look you in the eye because they know they're lying to you, and they've got shame, they've got guilt and all that. And he made eye contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, who had already told him, "You're going to deny me," and he already told him not going to do it. He followed the Lord, but spiritually, he definitely was at a distance, afar off. Okay, y'all get that? He was afar off in that sense. It's a picture of us getting distant from God. You know, when we stop hearing the Lord, His Word, and we stop applying His Word, we're getting afar off. We're getting cold spiritually. We're getting from the fire of the Word of God. Amen? And our heart begins to get cold. Our prayer life gets cold. Our evangelism, our witnessing gets cold. Our church attendance can get cold. Our service for God, we can cool off. Spiritual applications. But we can cool off and we can find ourselves following the Lord, but not as closely as we used to. And we're at a distance. So that really, spiritually speaking, is where He is right now. And you don't want to be like that. I'm going to give you a few points tonight of what happened to him. Talk about that look. He looked Jesus in the eye. Well, I want to look at a few looks that he had tonight. Number one, I want to say this. Number one, he looked to self. He looked to self, first of all. Back in verse 33 of this chapter, verse 33, he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." He said, "Lord, I am ready. Lord, I am ready." He wasn't ready. He didn't know what he was saying. I'm telling you, he looked to self. He looked within himself and he said, "I can do it." That's just like any of us men who say, you know, I can still, our mind says you can still do what you used to do 20 years ago, and then you try it and you get hurt, right? And you hurt yourself. Amen, right? Well, it's not just men, I guess, but anybody, right? You say, "Oh, I can still do that. I know I can do that." And then you try it, and then you're like, "Man, I'm a dummy. I can't do that," you know? Well, when we say spiritually, "I can fight off the devil, and I can fight off temptation, and I can argue with the Lord and get by with it," we're being foolish. We're going to find out. We're not very strong. When we look to ourselves, we're going to get let down. You know, we talk about looking to other people and getting disappointed. We disappoint ourselves a lot of times. Amen, right? We look in the mirror sometimes, and thinking about it, you might look in the mirror and say, "I can't even look that guy in the eye." If you can't look in the mirror and look that guy in the eye, you're kind of bad off right there. Amen, right? That's trouble right there. Or if we look into the mirror of the Word of God and we know we're guilty and we know we're not doing right, you know what we'll soon do? We'll close it and stop looking. James said this is a mirror. When we look into it, it shows us ourselves. It shows us that we're sinners. It shows us that we need the grace of God that we sang about tonight. We need the forgiveness of God. It shows us these things. But a lot of people are like, "No, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm ready. I can do this." And soon he finds himself denying that he even knew the Lord. He had trouble with the flesh. He had trouble with self-confidence. He had trouble with pride at this point. The Bible says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Proverbs 28:6, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." That's where you say, "I can do all things." Now, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things." The world loves that phrase, but that's not all there is to it when it comes to the Bible verse. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." See, the world's all about you can do anything you set your mind to. You can do all things. You just, whatever you want to do, you can do it. How many people have bought that lie before, you know, and all the, you know, anyway. But when the Lord's helping you, He can help. He can make it happen. Amen? He said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But Peter here is standing and saying, "Lord, if you'll help me, I won't deny you tonight." He didn't say that. He just said, "I'm ready to handle it. I'll fight them all off." And he tried, by the way. He pulled his sword out and tried to defend the Lord, right? He cut off one of those soldiers' ears, and the Lord picked it up and put it back on and healed him and said, put your sword away. The Lord came to lay down His life. He didn't come to fight. Amen. He didn't come to condemn. He came to lay down His life for our sinfulness. Amen? But Peter there was trying to do it in his own strength. And I'm sure you've tried to live the Christian life in your own strength. But Peter found out he was farther away from God than he thought he was. He found out he was farther away than he even realized. You know, a lot of times when you drift away from God, you backslide, you've drifted farther than you thought you had. I'm telling you, you get out in the boat. I'm telling you. If you're not paying attention and you start, well, it's like this. You're out there fishing, whether you're on the creek or a pond or a lake or whatever, and you catch a fish. You catch a fish, you're messing with the fish, you're getting the hook off, and you're doing all this stuff, and you're not paying attention. You put that fish in your cooler or your live well, or like I do half the time, release him. And then you look up and you're like, where's that spot? Oh, it's way up yonder. I got to get back to that spot. Because while I was doing all that, I was drifting and not realizing it, right? And I'm like, where was that spot? I need to get back to that spot. That's where the fish are, you know, and I miss it. But anyway, you drift sometimes more than you realize you drift. Now, here the Bible says in verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. I think she might have been a little surprised. She looked at him. She earnestly looked at him. She looked at him again. It's kind of like, I know you from somewhere. You ever done that? You ever look at people two or three times and I'm sorry for staring. It just seemed like I think I know you or something like that. And so she earnestly looks at him, and she said in her mind, she said, yes, and she speaks up. He's one of them. And she might have been thinking to herself, why is he here? Why is he hanging out with us? Shouldn't he be with his friend over there? Shouldn't he be over there showing support? Why is he hanging out over here with us? You know what, folks? The world's earnestly looking at you too. And whenever you get out of sorts with God and the church and you're out there hanging out with the world, you know what the world's doing? They're looking at you saying, why are you out here with us? I thought you were one of them Christians at the job. Why did you just say that? I thought you was one of them church people. Right? Y'all with me on that? The world's watching this stuff. They're earnestly looking at us and they want to see us doing right and they want to see us living right. They want to see us practicing what we preach, right? Well, Peter's not doing it. They earnestly look upon him and they're like surprised and saying, hey, you know, why is he over here with us? And of course, whenever she points that out in verse 57, and he denied him and saying, I know him not. Verse 58, let's read them. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art one of them. Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, so he's still hanging around that fire, another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. All right? So he denied the Lord three times, just like the Lord said he would. But he didn't think he would. Why? He looked to himself and he thought he was strong enough. Folks, don't rely upon yourself. Yourself is weaker than you realize, and the devil will deceive you. Your sinful flesh will deceive you into thinking you're going to be all right. And you say, I can get by. I don't need my Bible today. I don't need prayer today. I don't need church this week. And I'll fight the devil off. I'm doing pretty good at this thing. And before you know it, you're weeping bitterly because you got in the wrong place and did the wrong thing, said the wrong thing. Y'all been there. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look to self for victory. Victory is in Jesus. He looked to self. Let me say number two. Number two, he looked to sinners. He looked to sinners. And what I mean that's who he's hanging out with. These aren't Christ followers out here warming themselves. These are spectators. These are people. They're interested in that story. They're interested in that man. They're interested in seeing a crucifixion. They're interested in watching a trial. The world loves drama like that, right? They love that. And if there's some kind of accusation against the preacher or the church, man, the world's all about it, right? They're on that, and and all of that. I got a good friend that's a preacher friend that's in a, embroiled in a legal thing now. And boy, I know the man in the ministry is great. But when I read all them hateful comments, boy, he's a scoundrel, you know. That's the way the world works, right? It's the way the devil works, too. Amen? But he's out there hanging out with the sinners. He's getting cozy and comfortable by their fire. He is in the wrong place. You know what Psalm 1 says? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't hang out with sinners. People say, well, Jesus ate with sinners. And look, there's a difference between being around them and hanging out with them. There's a difference between being out there and letting your light so shine before them as a witness and going out and sinning with them. Amen? There's a difference. He's hanging out here where he ought not be. And what did he do? The Bible says neither give place to the devil. Well, he gave place to the devil. He left a door open and the devil came in and deceived him and tricked him and was out to destroy him. The Bible says this in James 4, know ye not that the friendship of the world, friendship with the world, is enmity with God. Enmity is basically the same word as enemy. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Hey, I don't want to be the enemy of God by cozying up to this sinful world. Hey, this world tells me a lot of stuff that's not true. This world gives me a lot of lies. This world bashes this Bible. This world bashes my Savior. I don't want to be out there hanging out with people that treat my Savior and talk about my Savior that way. Amen? Yet Peter's right here in the wrong crowd. He's warming himself right there by their fire. You know, Jesus loves us. Amen. He loves us. We sang that last night. Jesus loves me. Hey, stay on his side. Stay close. Stay close to him. Don't drift. When you look to self or you look to sinners, you look to the world for solutions and advice and companionship and to validate you and to make you feel better. You need to be with this crowd right here. Amen. You don't need to be with the world's crowd. You need to be with God's crowd right here. Amen? This is the crowd that's going to help you, the church. But what did Peter do? He looked to self. He looked to sinners. Number three, he looked to sinful schemes. Now, what I mean by that, it's not in this text, just in Matthew and Mark, is when he began to curse and swear to convince them. They're saying, hey, he's a Galilean. He talks like them. And Peter said, well, I'll show you something. I don't talk like them at all. He started cursing and swearing like he used to do when he was a fisherman before he got saved. He started cursing and swearing. Hey, that don't sound like one of them Jesus people. Amen. Boy, there's a lesson in that. Amen. Y'all awake? You with me? We ought not be out there cursing and carrying on like the world. Amen. Saying cuss words. You know, you get saved from that mess, right? He got saved from that. But what is it? That's his scheme I'm talking about. He's trying to convince them. He's trying to show them, no, I'm not with that church crowd. I'm not with that Jesus crowd. I'm just like you people. I'm just like y'all. He's scheming. And whenever you look to sinners and you look to sinful schemes to try to get by and scoop by instead of looking to the Lord and standing up boldly for God, you get yourself in more trouble. I want to say this. He forgot who he was. I've preached on this point before. Satan wanted Peter to forget who he was, a child of God, a representative of the Lord, an apostle. He wanted him to forget who he was. Get this now. The devil will steal your identity. You're not a child of God. You're not a very good Christian. You ought to quit trying to even be a Christian, the devil will tell you. You ought to quit going to church, reading your Bible, just going back out there. It's so much easier to just go on back out to the world. And you ought to quit doing that. He wants you to forget, friend, that you're a child of God. You're a representative of the Lord. But when he gets you to forget it, you know what he's going to do? He's going to run out there to the world and he's going to remind them, hey, that guy said he was a Christian. That's a game the devil loves to play. He's the accuser of the brethren. Hey, you're not a Christian. You're not a good one. Just quit. Go back to your sin. And then he runs over here. While he got you forgetting who you are, he's reminded them, that guy's a Christian. Hey, isn't that how the devil works oftentimes in your life? Amen, if you're not careful. I said this morning, he's not just out to hinder you, he's out to destroy you and your testimony. and your marriage and your family and your church and your nation and everything else. They're earnestly looking upon Peter saying, he's one of them. And the devil's like, he's going, I just picture a burn barrel. Okay, I know it's not a barrel, but anyway, I just picture him around the barrel. And boy, they got a fire going, and the old devil, he's kind of hovering around, and he's saying, look at that guy right yonder, boy. He's one of them Jesus people. He goes around to Peter and says, Peter, you just want to give this thing up, and you just quit following the Lord, and just tell him you don't even know him, and curse like they do. And then he goes back over here. Listen, hey, he says he's a Christian. Boy, talking about schemes. The devil's the schemer, right? But Peter falls into the scheme trying to cover it all up. The devil's got him as confused as he's got everybody else confused. Read a story about a young man that was going through Bible college. He's kind of made to go. He was working a job. When he wasn't at school, he was out there on the workforce and working his job. And somebody asked him, what's your name? And he'd say, my name's Joe. He wouldn't tell anybody his last name because the Bible college was right there and some Bible college students worked around there. And anyway, it finally came out, and one of the co-workers said, I know who you are. I found out your last name, and you're a preacher's kid. And he was like, yeah, that's why I didn't want you to know. I'm a preacher's kid, and I ain't living right, and I ain't living like I'm supposed to, and I have bad reflection on my dad and his ministry, and that's why I didn't want you to know. You know, again, the devil wants to get us in situations like that so he can point a finger. Right? Y'all with me? And the kid felt bad about that. And by the way, I hope he got right with God. Amen. I'm sure he did. I would like to believe so. But at that point in his life, he was ashamed. When I was in Bible college, by the way, I was in Bible college with a preacher's kid, and I was on a paint crew. And this guy, I worked with him and his brother-in-law. Well, his brother-in-law was a bold Christian. He was a preacher student. He witnessed to everybody. Well, the other kid, I can't remember names. Ryle was the preacher. And the other kid that was preacher's kid was backslidden as the day is long, but he's in Bible college. That happens, okay? Well, Ryle would get to witnessing to everybody on the job site. And I heard this guy. The preacher's kid was like, I wish he wouldn't do that. He's embarrassing all of us. I wish he would just hush. Sounds like my daddy, you know, and all this kind of stuff. He was so embarrassed. He got right with God later, amen, and got over it. Amen, I'm glad of that. But the devil was working on him at that time too. Because the devil will say, quit on God. And then he'll go around here and say, he's one of God's guys right there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm supposed to be talking about Peter's scheme, but I'm talking about the devil's scheme. Just do this. Remind yourself all the time that you are a child of God. John 1:12, you're a child of God. 1 Corinthians 5, you're an ambassador of the Lord. You're a representative of God. Everywhere you go, folks, you've got a Christian testimony, and you've got a Father up in heaven. And while the devil's trying to get you to let your guard down like Samson, you need to stay strong. Amen? For the Lord. The Bible says walk worthy of this vocation. Walk worthy of this name Christian. Do right and live right. Amen? All right. I went everywhere with that one. But he looked to, number one, self. He looked, number two, to the sinners. He looked, number three, to schemes. But he got schemed by the devil. That's where that point went, okay? He tried to scheme, but he got schemed by the devil. That'll happen. You can't out-scheme the devil, right? All right, number four. Number four is this. After looking to self, sinners, and schemes, number four, he looked to, we already read it and talked about it, he looked to the Savior. And it wasn't fun at that moment. He looked to the Savior. If we look back again, verse 61, Peter turned and looked, excuse me, the Lord turned and looked unto Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. That it said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter, after looking at the Lord, making eye contact with God, went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever done the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, thought the wrong thing, sinned as a Christian, and then again, You couldn't look to God. You couldn't get in your prayer closet. You couldn't get in your Bible. You didn't even want to go back to the church. You know why? You couldn't look God in the eye. You felt ashamed. And by the time you did get back to talking to God, you were just begging God for forgiveness, right? Restore me. If you're a true Christian, you know what I'm talking about. Amen? He went out and wept bitterly. Well, I'm glad he did. Hey, because I want to tell you, if you can live in sin and be okay with it, something's wrong with that picture. Amen? If you can get in the wrong crowd and be out there with the enemy of the Lord and be okay with that, then you got a serious problem, right? But let me say this. The Bible says in Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The Lord was watching him too. Amen? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Now look, that's a good thing when you're in the valley and you're in the trial. Lord, I know the Bible says you're looking upon me. I need to know you're still looking upon me, Lord. But whenever you're in the valley of sin, you're like, Lord, I wish you hadn't seen that. Right? It's not so fun that the eyes of the Lord are upon you all the time. Amen? You ever find yourself looking over your shoulder when you're guilty? Yeah, the Lord's back there. He's watching. That's right. You need to just go ahead and turn around and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's walk together again. Amen? Guilt will do that to us. But here's the thing. He's always looking. You know what he's looking for? You remember the story of the prodigal son there in Luke 15 and how I think that prodigal father was looking down that road every day for his boy to come back. You know, when there's a wayward child of God, there's a child of God that's a Christian in the wrong place. You know what I think the Lord's doing? He's watching for that day when you will repent and return and He'll welcome you back. Amen? Thank God He will do that. God is loving. God is merciful. Now, the devil's saying, hey, stay out there in the world. Don't go back. He won't forgive you now. You done ruined it. You're over with. You're done. And the Lord's saying, please come back to the fold. Jesus will leave the 90 and the 9 and go look for that one. Amen? And say, I've been looking for you to come back. I'm glad the Lord goes after us sometimes. Amen? You know, we know the rest of the story from John chapter 21 that Peter eventually saw the Lord again when he was out there fishing. He went back to fishing. He said, I ain't preaching no more. I can't do this. I failed. He's out there fishing again, but guess who's on the seashore? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't catch no fish, and the Lord said, cast on the other side. They caught a whole bunch of fish. Well, guess what? That had happened before, and they realized immediately it's Jesus. By the way, this is after he's been crucified and resurrected. This is the resurrected Lord. And they get all those fish that the Lord gives them, and they go over there in John 21. They get back to the shore. Peter jumps in the water and swims to the Lord, and you know what he finds out? Lord's already got fish cooking. Those professionals hadn't caught nothing all night, and Jesus is over here. He's already got fish on the fire. Amen? Come and dine, he says. And that's when he restored Peter. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know what? He denied him three times, and the Lord let him confess his love for him three times. Amen? God's merciful like that. And the Lord said, go feed my lambs, go feed my sheep. Get back in the preaching business, is what he told him. Get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen? The Lord restored him. Why? Because of that look to the Savior. You know, he never forgot that. When he went out and wept bitterly, you know, that was a look of conviction, by the way. That was a look of conviction. The Lord's looking down, sees what you do. It's a look of conviction. Don't ever get over that. If you can get past that and harden your heart and get so cold it doesn't bother you, you've got a problem. Keep a heart that's sensitive, right? I'm reminded, I've told you this before, about the new Christian that went to the bar. That he always went to a bar. He always went there. Well, he got saved, and he went to this bar. But this time, he stopped by after work. He stopped at the bar, but something was different. He was uncomfortable, and he got out there, and he went to the preacher. He said, preacher, I went to this bar. I go to it all the time. But I was sitting there, and I just had this funny feeling. He said, my daddy was watching me. And he said, my daddy's been dead and gone a long time. But I just had this funny feeling. My father was just watching me. And the preacher said, well, I know what was happening. He said, what? He said, your father up in heaven was watching you, and you got real uncomfortable because you were somewhere you don't need to be anymore. Amen? And I think that does happen. You get back in that wrong place and where you ought not be, and God's watching, and boy, that's a look of conviction. Amen? And the Lord will help you with that. Don't get to where you can stay in sin and be okay with it. Peter was restored and went on to strengthen the brethren as the great apostle Peter, and the great apostle. Someone has said this. Let me read this to you real quick. Believers separated from Christ always lose their fervor. Company is more desirable than loneliness. Warmth is better than chills. Now think about, he's with the company. He's at the fire, okay? Company is more desirable than loneliness. Warmth is better than chills. But Christians who feel more at home among Christ's enemies are capable of going anywhere and doing anything. Conscience says, this is no place for you. Get out. But when you ignore that advice, you invite disaster into your life. Hey, whenever you feel the Lord saying you're in the wrong place, you're drifting. You need to get back to church. You need to get back in your Bible. You need to get back to prayer. You need to get back to Christian service. You need to get back to where you used to be with me. That's the voice you need to listen to. Amen? We all will at some point, some way, somehow get in the wrong place. By the way, you can stay in church. You can stay on the pew. You can remain in the choir, in the Sunday school, whatever, and still have a cold heart that's drifted from God. Isn't that true? We can go through the motions because we know how to do it. We know what to say. We know how to act. But we know our heart has gotten cold. Amen. But I'm glad for this. Restoration is available. Amen. You don't have to stay in that wrong place. Peter got in the wrong place, but I'm glad to say we can get out of that. And Peter did. All of these that we've looked at got in the wrong place, but they got out of that wrong place and back into the right place with God. Amen for that. Thank God. Jonah got swallowed by the whale. Did y'all see that happen again this past week or recently? Did y'all see that video of that man? Y'all don't watch nothing? There was a man on his kayak, float, whatever, out there. There's a video of it. Go look it up. The whale swallowed this man whole. Now, and the guy said that. He said, did you see he swallowed me? Well, he didn't actually swallow him. He just engulfed him into his mouth and spit him out immediately. If he had swallowed him, he might have been in trouble, right? He didn't swallow him, but he did. The man and his little raft, and next thing you know, poof. And then him and his raft popped back up because he didn't taste good, and that thing spit him right out. But it showed me, I saw the video, y'all got to go look that up, how easy it was for Jonah. But he got swallowed, amen, for 3 days and three nights, and God preserved him. But again, he got in the wrong place, but he got out, amen. That's probably what this guy said, too. I got in the wrong place real fast. Thankfully, I got out, amen. It's not fun to be in the wrong place, especially with God. We don't want to be in the wrong place in our heart. We don't want to be in the wrong place with God. We want to always stay in the right place, the center of the will of God, in the service of God, with a warm heart that's not warmed by the fires of the enemy, but warmed by the love of God, the righteousness of God. Amen? That's the kind of heart we want to have. When Peter got in the wrong place, when Peter got with the wrong crowd, I'm glad he eventually got back to the right crowd and then he got to preaching to the wrong crowd. Amen? Like God wanted him to. And we can do that too. And I hope as you go through your Christian life, you'll figure that one out. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, please? Father, we thank you so much for, Lord, your word, your truth, the encouragement of it, Lord. We know as Christians we can drift, we can get in the wrong places, and we can get away from you, Lord. But we thank you too, God, that you know how to draw us back and get us on the right track again. And Lord, I pray whoever needs these warnings, we all need them. But Lord, we'll do the right things with these messages, Lord. And even Peter, if Peter could get off the track and in the wrong place, any of us can. So, Lord, help us to learn from this. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Speak to our hearts now, and I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. A little music plays. You may want to come do business with God. Amen. Amen. All right. I hope you learned something from these Bible characters that we've been looking at. God gives us their stories to help us in our journeys. Amen. And I hope they'll help you. So I hope you will have a wonderful week this week, whatever you're doing, whatever you're facing. Wednesday night, I'll be in touch with you. Like I said, I'll be going down to South Carolina, so I'll be in touch with you about Wednesday night by text or phone call, something like that, about what's going on there. Don't know about the weather anyway. What I've seen, there's supposed to be some stuff going on then, but we'll see. So anyway, I'll be going down there. Just keep my dad in your prayers. He needs your prayers right now, and he's just getting weaker and weaker, and just hardly able to get up anymore. So for whatever reason, that's happening. So I just appreciate your prayers. And there is a procedure they still need to do and try, but at this point, they don't. I don't think got much hope for it, but. Anyway, we'll see how all that goes, but I'm going to go down there and see them. And then I told you about Clint's situation. That's a any day thing as well. And so we'll be down there for that, maybe both of those things. So.